You are going to want one of these in your home any minute now. Joining us right now, Dr. Oliver Kralos. He's from UC Davis. He is a mad genius. I'm going to call you a mad genius. Yeah. He's a virtual reality researcher, but he created this amazing augmented reality sandbox. Joining us also, Joe Kenyon, who uses it to educate. He's with the Sonoma Land Trust. But let's start with you, Dr. Kralos. How did this happen?
Well, back in 2012, we were involved in this project funded by the National Science Foundation about informal science education. The idea was to teach using virtual reality methods about land preservation, water, watersheds, how water flows, and so forth. And then at one of our meetings, somebody brought in this video they found on YouTube of something like this, and they showed it. Like, oh, we need to have this for the project. It's a perfect fit. Yeah. And then I looked at it and was like, you know what? We can do that.
We can do this. Not just that, with off-the-shelf technology.
Right, and I had been working in the space for a long time. I'd been working with the Kinect for a long time, and so it was pretty much a no-brainer to put that together.
So this is the heart and soul of it.
That's right.
And this is from an Xbox 360. This isn't even the new Kinect.
That's the first-generation Xbox 360 Kinect. That's right.
So one of the things that Kinect did, if you were a gamer, it has a camera in it. It can see you. But it also has an infrared system. It bounces infrared light. You can't see it, but the Kinect said it can see it with a special infrared camera. What does it do with that?
The idea is that you have a little laser emitter right there, and it's projects out this spot pattern, millions of little spots, and then they get seen by the infrared camera, which is right here, and then in the middle is a color camera, which I'm not using. And so based on the displacement of those dots, it can detect how far away things are. If you project the dot on something that's very close, it looks different as if you project them onto something that's far away. Mm-hmm. And so based on that, it can triangulate how far away the surfaces are and then create a map, a depth map, a pixel image of 632 by 480 pixels where you have a distance value for every pixel.
So gamers will recognize this as the Z-axis in gaming.
Correct.
You know, you're playing in a game, you don't want it to be a two-dimensional thing. You want a player to be farther or nearer. And when you're playing with a Kinect, you can move in or out. So what are you doing with this then? I mean, this is a sandbox, right?
Right. And so the idea was here is actually quite simple, that we have an actual physical sandbox with real sand in there. But as I modify the sand, as I, let's say, dig a hole, then the Kinect will detect it immediately and then update the projection to reflect what it just did to the sand. So it just made a little hole here. It just draws these contour lines you can see.
Wow.
And there's a bit of delay in there to filter out the noise that the Kinect has, which is why it takes exactly a second to update to my changes.
So you could do it faster, but you're doing that on purpose.
Exactly. We can turn that down, but then it gets very noisy and jittery. So this is the compromise, so to speak.
Well, look, water is flowing into that because it's lower, right?
That's right. There's also water, so we can make it rain by just doing this gesture. And then it starts raining.
Yes.
And crazy. It works better. You have to make the sound. You have to say, water! And so,
look at this. So one of the things that's tough with science is it's sometimes some abstract. And so experience is really helpful when you're teaching kids or anybody what a topo map means, what those lines mean. And this is experiential. And once you do this, you get it.
Yeah. We just did an experiment a couple of weeks ago in the winter semester class, geology class, sort of geology 101, where we had a bunch of undergrads come in that were preparing for a field trip. And so we brought this up to teach them about, okay, what does a contour line actually mean?
Oh,
and how can
so
you use
great.
Contour lines to judge the slope of the terrain? And then how can you look at an exposed bedding and figure out what's the angle of this bedding? Is it level? Is it uplifted? By how many degrees?
Right.
Just by following it through the terrain. So we made a modification to the software for that. And that worked out really well. They went into the field and basically already knew what they were doing because they had seen it in this.
Oh,
and it's very
amazing.
Difficult to learn that from looking at maps or from looking at 2D pictures.
The other thing that's really cool is you immediately want to play with this. I mean, like kids would just look at this and go, oh, yay, I want to play with this. This is augmented reality?
Well, I have had some discussions, not to say fights with people about that word, but I would say yes. Because we are taking that real sand and you're
putting
projecting
overlay
information onto it.
The AR glasses, like the HoloLens, is kind of the opposite, which is you're looking at something that, you know, you're looking at the real world and the glasses are imposing as a vision on it.
But yes.
It's
a
similar idea,
It's
though.
Similar in that, too.
Yeah.
The difference is that with the HoloLens and other things, you're injecting three-dimensional objects into your real environment, whereas here we're injecting a two-dimensional surface.
But onto a 3D.
It's sort of in the same ballpark, let's just say.
Who else is using this, and how are they using it?
In that proposal, in that grant, we had three partner institutions. One of them is the Tahoe Environmental Research Center up at Lake Tahoe. The other one is Echo Lake Aquarium and Science Center in Lake Champlain, Vermont. And the other one is here in Berkeley Lawrence Hall of Science. And so they all have one of these now. But then what we did is we published the instructions, the software that we wrote and to make this, and the blueprints and the designs and so forth.
So anybody could build one of these.
That's right. And there's probably, I don't know exactly, but a couple hundred, I would say, worldwide now.
I'm going to build one. I got a little Kinect lying around. Is it open source?
Yes, it's open source software.
No kidding. Runs on?
Runs on Linux.
You're using Mint, I noticed, my favorite distro
We are recommending Mint because it's the simplest. We have instructions starting from a blank PC, how to get Mint on there, a video, 40 minutes.
They've done a great job.
That's the software, and then you just run it and
beautiful.
It works.
So what do I need? I need a projector.
You need a projector, you need a Kinect, and you need a fairly beefy computer to run it. This water simulation here, I overshot the goal, to be honest. It would have been fine to have some kind of cartoon water, but I ended up writing one that's physically realistic.
So there's a lot of physics in
all of this. And it needs a pretty hefty GPU, like an NVIDIA 970 or something
like that. Got it. So if you had a 970, you could do this because these physics simulations require some
physics simulation eats a lot of power, that's right.
But it looks. But you know what? It's nice because it flows. It really is beautiful.
Yeah. There's a thunderstorm rolling in over here.
That's right. Oh, so you got to make this gesture.
There you go. Look at that.
this latest version, he has this nice little ripple effect. For folks that are building theirs, this is a beautiful.
Yeah, you can see the waves the going waves through going here through, and bending around through. The shallows. That's... And then you can just add a bit of water and you can see the waves propagating. And then one thing that I want to show because it's kind of fun and pretty much everybody who built one of these had asked me about that feature. Can we turn this into lava? And as of this version, yes, you can.
Oh! 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 Oh!
It's hot in here.
So now we can make it rain lava.
Oh! Oh my gosh!
Do you say lava?
Lava.
That was a geek
that's
moment
right,
Leo just had.
Lava! So the thing I'm kind of proud of is that we change it now that even when you turn it to lava, it now behaves like lava.
The physics of lava is different than the physics of water. It's
absolutely.
More viscous.
Yes, exactly. And so then we can, what button did I use here?
I think it's...
We can go back to
we use two,
water.
Didn't we? Yeah.
There we go.
So Joe Kenyon is also here. He's with the Sonoma Land Trust. Joe, did you build this?
Yeah, I built this with Matthew. He's a student here in the 4-H group, and I asked him to come and help me do this.
Best 4-H project ever.
he got roped into this, and he's like, and then he kind of, we're cutting a lot of wood, didn't quite see that yet, and then we assembled it all together, and then there was this is amazing. And we took it to the first, this one had its first rollout at the GIS Day in November. And had about 300 kids just immediately didn't have to tell them what to do.
I never want to stop.
They were in there dragging their hands through it. And the hurdle to talk about topography, to talk about the land, was gone. They knew, these lines.
Oh, you're drying it out. He's desiccating it.
Yeah.
Now we're back in California in a normal year.
Look at that.
Yeah.
What I want to do is I want to make it, I like making dam failures. Sorry, didn't want to interrupt.
No problem. Actually, that's one of the things I was going to get to is we had 1,000 acres of
the dam just broke
land that we wanted to restore. It was out there that was disconnected from the bay, and so that 1,000 acres had a dike around it, and we said, okay, we want to get tidal action again. So what we did was we basically broke the levee, and talking about breaking a levee and breaking the levee right in front of them and showing the water draining into it, it really reinforces what you're trying to commit to engage them in, to have them give money to have them bring out a shovel and help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is that Oliver, you've obviously had this longer than anybody else. You still can't stop playing with it.
It's automatic. You can't get your hands out of it. I know. It's crazy.
It's really cool.
And it's so nice and reactive because you can just, even though there's a little bit of delay in there. And actually with the new Kinect, the new software version will support the new Kinect, which is better. I'm probably going to be able to turn down that delay by quite a bit still for the same quality. And just seeing it, follow you.
So if I had a decently spec'd PC, I could put Linux Mint on this and your software. It's open source software. It's freely available.
Mm-hmm.
And I could do this, and I imagine like a model railroad enthusiast might want to build a layout that I could see so many interesting uses. Yeah. Education, obviously, but even more than education.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun.
How hard was it to get? Was it to get working, Joe?
The hardest part. It was fairly straightforward.
Building this is the tough.
This
part.
Is the hard part. Yeah. Designed it all up in SketchUp, so I knew what I was doing, and then didn't waste much plywood. And then Tyler Chartier down here helped me with lending me his shop. We sanded out, routed it. And then it was once it was up and filled, we did it.
Does it matter what kind of sand you use?
We use Santastic, and it's
white, which is nice.
Yeah, it projects well. You could use lentils or beans in here, but I like
really. It uses anything.
But I think this is the best.
Yeah.
I think this is the best. Also, how to rinse it. If you do build one, remember to take the dust
powdery,
out, because your projector and your computer is susceptible to it.
Yeah.
There's a cool thing he's got this building on now, which is you can project out something and then
build it.
We can tell him about that.
Right. I was going to go into the sand for a moment. So we're recommending this Sandtastic sand because it's white. It takes the projection really well.
Yep.
If you moisten it a bit with like a cup of water, it gets very nice and moldable. This here is nice and moist. But it also gets everywhere. So our museums who got tired of that, they're using two different versions. The other uses moon sand, which is sand mixed with cornstarch, which molds very well and sticks together. And there's this other stuff called kinetic sand, which I personally think it's too clay-like. You can't just do something like this. But it really sticks together. It's very non-messy, but it's also quite expensive, to be honest. Our museums are using primarily the kinetic sand.
Okay.
Yeah, how big can you go with this?
Ah, that's an excellent question. The problem is the limited resolution of the Kinect camera.
Sure. Yeah.
So our ideal size is like 1 meter by 75 centimeters, which is 40 by 30 inches. Mm-hmm. In which case you get a resolution of about 1.5 millimeters, like that. Mm-hmm. If you make it twice as big, you're getting half the resolution size-wise, but more importantly, you're getting only like a quarter of the resolution in the depth direction due to the way the Kinect works.
Sure.
So the sweet spot is about 1 meter by 75, which I think this one looks about like.
And the new Kinect will have more resolution.
Will have significantly higher resolution.
So you could make a larger.
Yes, it will have lower resolution in the lateral, but that's not the limiting factor. It will be much better in the vertical.
Yeah.
It will be a fraction of a millimeter. It will be very, very nice.
And you can engage more people at the same time.
That's correct.
Which is really great.
Joe, what was the overall cost of putting this together?
Well, the GeForce 980 costs about $600.
That's right, the most expensive piece, probably.
The GPU right off
and
the bat.
We don't necessarily need that. Yes. That was overkill.
But it
looks good.
It made the water just lickety split.
I just thought of something we're going to do with our ultimate gaming machine that we're building.
Well, there you go.
I'd say about $3,000.
$3,000.
From wood to
including the PC and all the stuff.
Yeah.
And can you buy Kinects by themselves? You have to buy them on eBay, probably.
I got an eBay, like $20 bucks with shipping.
Yeah. A lot of people
don't. They have them on Amazon still, the original ones.
Oh, good. Right.
They're about $100 or so.
I have my Xbox One, so I might just. Now, what are you doing now? What is
right,
this?
Right. Joe reminded me to show you this. This is, in a way, a little addition that we did recently where you can bring in an existing terrain model, like some real terrain or something you made up. You mentioned model railroad.
Yeah.
And then the sandbox will guide you towards reconstructing it. So wherever it's blue, there's too much sand.
Ah.
And where there's red, there's too little sand. So I can just take the sand.
So you're using a real topo map.
That's exactly
to
right.
Inform how you build this.
And so you can fairly quickly reconstruct an existing terrain. This here is the Rapley Ridge Anticline, which is part of the Colorado River. That's the Colorado River right there in Utah. I hope I didn't
That's
say this
crazy.
Wrong. My colleagues will kill me if I did.
This
and
is
then
amazing.
You can,
I want this.
I want this.
You can build this, and again, for our education purposes, that you can really tell the students, give them a very clear idea where they're going to go and then what they're going to do
ahead
and what
time.
It looks like.
Wow.
And then the other thing that I haven't implemented yet, it's on the to-do list, is to once you have the terrain to a pretty good approximation and everything is white, you can then take a real aerial photograph or satellite image and drape it on there. And then it's going to look almost exactly like the real thing.
You'll see the rock lines and the creeks. This is really where, this is where the rubber meets the road. If I want somebody to love a place,
and you need
they
to duplicate
don't know
the
it,
place. Yeah.
This helps them get to know it first, and then I can talk about loving and conserving it.
Yeah, the Marine Corps actually built at least one of these, and they are very keen on this feature. They want to use it for planning and all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
that's
what
I was
little thinking. Troops.
I don't want to say
it,
but that's what I was saying.
Yeah. is there a community around this? I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
So what
community.
We did is we have been doing this sort of. We didn't really know what we were doing with building a community, releasing widely used software. We've been releasing a lot of open source software over the last 10, 15 years.
We being
Keck Caves at UC Davis, the Scientific Visualization Virtual Reality Research Group. But then we have maybe our best software has maybe a couple hundred users because all scientists in earth science, physical sciences. So this one here is our biggest release and we are learning. So we set up this website where you can go and there's a support forum which is actually very active. Where people post their problems and make suggestions.
A lot of teachers, I would think. This would be a great thing to have in a science class.
The first person besides us who built one was an elementary school teacher from Perth, Australia, who built one for his elementary school class. And then, like I said, right now I don't have a good handle because it's open source, but I'm estimating there to be at least 100, probably more than that.
Get ready for thousands. This is a neat, neat thing.
I'm going to stay over here for the rest of the day.
We like it a lot, to just be honest. You know.
What's the address for the community?
Do
you know?
That's on Lake
Viz. LakeViz.org, which
Lake,
is a lake as a lake, and then V-I-Z. .org, and there's the AR Sandbox forum. That's the community portal. And then there's my own webpage where all this stuff is. But there are, of course, links to that from the LakeViz, from the LakeViz.
Fantastic.
Site. Oh, yeah, there
it's
you go.
It's like an art form.
Dr. Oliver Kralos from UC Davis and Joe Kenyon from the Sonoma Land Trust, thank you so much. Joe, this is yours, so thank you for bringing it in and setting it up. I know that probably was a little bit of a challenge, but wow, is this... Isn't this?
This is crazy.
This is awesome.
This is the next generation of Sandbox.
Man, I'm going to send back that Oculus Rift.
No, no. You can combine it with this.
What?
Yeah. Well, not in the current version. I'm still working on that. But the idea is, of course, that this is based actually on VR software. This just pretends to be AR.
Yeah.
So what you can do is you can take this image, which is currently mapped onto the sand, and on a second monitor, you can show it as a 3D object. You can move it around, zoom in, zoom out. And then, of course, if you have an Oculus Rift, let's say you can put that on, you can put yourself onto the terrain at one-to-one scale.
You could pretend you are rafting down this river.
You can.
And then you can build your own world and then go in it.
Yeah. That's correct, yeah.
So I could play Halo in there if I wanted to.
I was thinking, anybody here remember Populous?
This feels like very godlike. I feel like Populous. I feel
so
like
the moment we tried this the first time, I immediately had flashbacks to
totally
Populous, which I played a lot
then. Yeah, and Black and White, which was very similar.
That was a bit after my time. Yeah, I played more Populous. And so we have thought, and actually we are going to take this to Washington, not this one, but our own, in April for the National Science Festival, if it's called.
Fantastic.
And for that one, because they want to talk about water, I want to put in a mode, and I can't promise I'll get it done, where it will simulate irrigation. So if you have lots of water here, there will be vegetation hopefully growing here.
Oh.
Can't promise it yet, but that's the idea that's that I'm
awesome.
Shooting for.
Kids, if you want a science fair project that's guaranteed to get you an A, I think we know where to go. Lake-Viz. Oh, it's all forming.
That was last week.
Yeah, right. Dang. That's what it looks like right now.
Really, really cool.
Make it the East Coast, there'll be snow.
This is an amazing thing. Thank you, Dr. Kralos, and thank you, Joe. Really appreciate your time. Very cool. LakeViz.org if you want to know more.
Love it.